Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. And if you have it on your phone, please go there as well to follow along. In your bulletin, you have a short little brief outline. I want to say a few words about baptism, and then we're going to get into that part of the ceremony. And it's an exciting time. We have four people that would like to be baptized, and we have a couple for next Sunday already. And so, as I mentioned before, the tank is always open. It's easy to fill, hot water. So if you're adverse to cold, it's warm. So that's exciting. May the Lord just move. I'm going to break a few traditions, I guess. I found this all out. So I just heard about the robes this week. I've just heard about a few other things. And so when we get to do the baptism, I'd like to invite all the children, if they will, to come and sit up here in the front, all right? For a couple reasons. I want you to take in what is happening, and then I would like you to go home and say, Mom and Dad, have you been baptized? Or can I be baptized? All right? And I would encourage you to do that, when I get that time, I'll invite them all to come up here and watch. It's exciting to see how the Spirit moves. There's two things that the Lord asks us to remember. And some congregations call them sacraments, and some call them ordinance. And there's two of them that God asks us to do. And one is communion that we do once a month. And there's some churches that do it every Sunday. We have chosen to do it once a month. And the other is baptize. And baptism has changed over time. It's in some ways, it's kind of lost its impact. Because back in the New Testament time, baptism was a very powerful thing. And it identified people as followers of Christ. And often during that time, because of persecution, as soon as they came out of the water, they were often arrested. They were often thrown into the Colosseums or fed to the lions and different things like this. And so it meant quite a bit. And into today, society in the persecuted countries, baptism is still very powerful. In our Western culture, it's not that way. We don't have that same type of persecution. Nobody's waiting for you to come out of the tank and arrest you. And so it's lost its meaning. The other thing that we've done in our churches, which doesn't fit, and that is we tie membership into baptism, all right? Scripture doesn't talk about that. Scripture talks about baptism. Membership actually is never really talked about. It's implied in the book of Acts, the history book, when it says that 3,000 were added to their number today, okay, and they break that all down, and scholars break that down. They use that as far as part of membership. Baptism is not connected to that. And so this morning, I just want to give a quick crash course on why be baptized, okay? And this is it. Next Sunday, who should be baptized? That's all it's about. So the other thing we do in our Western churches, we have like 13 classes on baptism or 9 classes on baptism. And it really gets boiled down to 2, and here's what Scripture has to say. So if you have your passage of Romans chapter 6, this is where I would like us to dive into. Romans chapter 6, the first 10 verses, the truth that Paul was teaching is that believers' identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And he's teaching that through baptism. Just as we are identified with Adam in sin and in condemnation, because Adam sinned, we've been condemned. So we are now identifying with Christ in his righteousness and justification. Justification by faith is not simply a legal matter between me and God. It's a living relationship. It's a justification that brings life. And you have your passage there of Romans chapter 6, but you'll see that in Romans 5, verse 18. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word baptism is derived from a similar Greek word called baptizio. Its original meaning was dipped or immersed. And in time, the word also became to have a secondary meaning as becoming known or to become one with. And so when John the Baptist started baptizing, they were followers of John the Baptist, and people knew that. And Jesus Christ himself never baptized in the 3 years. His disciples baptized. And it was identification with Jesus Christ. And so within this Christian context, it carries this picture or meaning of becoming known as God's child, to become one with the Lord. Baptism proclaims to others that Christ lives in me. That's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. As soon as they were baptized, they were identifying as followers of Christ. And it wasn't the Romans. The Romans actually carried out. But it was the Jews that did not like that. They did not care for that because the Romans at the time put the Christians and Jews together. And they go, "Oh, no. They're not a sect of us. They're not us." And under the Jewish influence is where all the persecution started coming. And the Romans caught on to it. They were skillful in this. And they used it to their ability. One thing to remember is that baptism itself does not save the person being baptized. So why be baptized? Let me give you some good reasons here. First, baptism is a picture of our new life in Christ. It's a very vivid and visual way of showing salvation through Christ's death and resurrection. It dramatically portrays the believer being buried in old life. So when they get moved into the water, being buried. And when they raise again in new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." I'm in Christ. I identify with him. Whatever happened to Christ happened to me. And we see that here in Romans chapter 6. Let me just read it. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore baptized in him through baptism into death, in order, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly be reunited with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died for sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Such a powerful thing. Paul was speaking to these people and it moved them. He died. I died when I get baptized into the water. He rose. I rose in him. One day, we will be with him in glory. We do not know when that day is. It might even be before we get done today. Baptism identifies you as a believer with the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 1 through 4 gives us that picture. Verse 3 says, baptized in Christ's death. Jesus Christ not only died for our sins, but he died unto sin. And we died with him. This means that the believer has a new relationship to sin. That's why Paul opened up in verse 1. I am dead to sin. I am crucified with Christ. Meaning we no longer want to continue in sin. There's a desire within us as the Spirit moves to sin less. And the pricking of our conscience when we know sin is knocking on our door. One is symbolically being placed into the grave, identifying themselves with the death and burial of Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 4 says this, but being raised to new life. Coming out of the waters is a picture of rebirth. We have been raised from the dead. And now we walk in the power of his resurrection. It is such a powerful power. It helps us when we go through times of suffering and trials and difficult times. We walk in the newness of life because we share his life. Galatians 2, verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Baptism is a very visual presentation of what happened inwardly. When we ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of our life, we're saying that same thing. And baptism is a demonstration of that. The believer has died to the old life. They have been raised to enjoy the new life. The next point is that it's a public testimony of our allegiance in Christ. Baptism is a sincere and public expression that the believer will obey and serve the Lord who is Jesus Christ. Whereas salvation is an individual matter between God and the believer, baptism is a public declaration. It's a public statement. Union with Christ is often compared to a change of clothing. Galatians 3:27 says this, for all who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Water baptism is a public expression that change is taking place. Jesus' disciples were baptized. John chapter 3 talks about this. John chapter 4. This pattern was carried out in the book of Acts. After hearing Peter preached, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine that service? A lineup out the door and down the block. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts is such a great history book. It has so much for us. Peter again in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 41. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Baptism is a meaningful testimony to those present of the wonderful change that has taken place. It's an exciting time. It's a time to invite your friends, your relatives, different people to express what you've done inwardly. I remember when I was 10 years old, I was down in the States. Back then, they did things a little bit differently because now you're talking the late 60s, okay? And if you came forward after they sang 15 verses of Just As I Am, then you're supposed to laugh on that one. I think there's only six verses, but they had this culture of repeating them over and over. You would come forward, they would pray with you, and you would get dunked right then and there. It was an expression of this. Okay? Baptism, the third thing, pictures our conviction about the future. And this is so powerful in these last few verses of Romans chapter 6. And Paul points it out here in verse 6. It says this to 10. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body of sin might render powerless, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also rise with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God." A tremendous fact comes out here that Paul is pointing out. The old man, the old woman, the ego, the self, was crucified with Christ so that our body need not be controlled by sin. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we can never say, "The devil made me do it." We can't make that proclamation anymore because we're a child of God and the Spirit lives within us. And he pricks us. Sin wants to be our master. It finds a foothold in the old nature. And through the old nature, it seeks to control members of the body. But in Jesus Christ, we died to sin. And the old nature was crucified so that the old life is rendered inoperative. We don't need to sin. We can choose not to sin. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us through this. Sin and death have no dominion over us. Jesus not only died for sin, but he also died unto sin. That means that he not only paid the penalty for sin, but he broke the power of sin. We sang a song. The veil was torn, okay? The separation, the power of sin was broken. Death is humankind's greatest enemy. When someone doesn't know the Lord, there's no hope, there's no joy. But for the believer who trusts in Christ, death has been conquered through Christ's death and resurrection. Remember, baptism does not save our soul from eternal punishment or wash away sin. That's not what baptism does. The believer's sins are forgiven when they repent and trust Christ for cleansing. I want to say a little bit about infant baptism, and it's not for those that have been infant baptized like myself. It's for those of you that have not. In my research for this, and as I was thinking about this, I met with a few of my friends that have been infant baptized and wanted to ask them why they went for believer baptism. And I wanted to talk with my dad, who they went for believer's baptism when they left the Christian Reformed Church. First thing we need to expel is that infant baptism and believer baptism are the same, and they're not. That's the first thing we want to lay out. Most who believe in infant baptism believe that infant baptism has efficiency, meaning value and worth, towards the future salvation of that baby. The Roman Catholics believe this 100%, okay? They believe this 100%. Anglicans, Presbyterians, Lutherans, the Reform believe this to a lesser extent and say that it has some value towards the future salvation of that baby. When I was infant baptized, my Christian Reformed parents at the time stood before God and the congregation and swore as participants in the covenant. And this is for those of us that have not been, those of you that have not been infant baptized, it's important for you to understand this. The covenant, the Mosaic, the Abrahamic, and the Davidic covenant. And that they would raise me, their baptized baby, in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And when parents have done that, that's what they believed. They were saying that this is what Cornelius did in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verses 27 to 48. Or they'll say this is what the jailer did, Acts chapter 16. For their family members included their babies. They were saying, as I found out, talking with my folks and talking with my friends, they were saying that baptism replaces circumcision as a sign of the covenant. Mosaic, Abrahamic, Davidic, David. Now, when my folks were baptized, my dad said that he was more interested in identifying with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection than he was with identifying with the covenant. Mosaic, Abrahamic, Davidic. It's a powerful question. What do you want to identify with in your baptism? A covenant or Jesus? Which is most important? For my mom, when she was infant, or when she was baptized by a believer, immersion. I remember this very clearly. Her folks who lived on the West Coast, and we lived in Montana, they came out. My dad was at work. They packed us all up, and they took us, along with my mom, back to Washington State because she had been believer baptized. My dad's family was not affected the same way. Even though they came from the same CRC denomination, they weren't affected the same way. It's a powerful thing. And there's been some of you that have been infant baptized in our midst. So I just leave that question to you this morning. Which is most important? You see, baptism entered in the right spirit of humility, obedience, and dedication will be the occasion of a strengthened faith and a deepened devotion to Jesus Christ. Some people wonder, why has my walk not moving forward? Part of it could be because we haven't identified publicly as followers of Christ. As we baptize today and next Sunday, just as God said of Jesus, our Lord, at his baptism, I believe he says to us as well, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my daughter. This is my son whom I'm well pleased. We want to go forward and have baptism, but I would just say, if God is prompting you while this is taking place, we do have extra stuff. Just go out the hallway. If you want to think about it some more, we have all next Sunday to do that. And we have a couple already wanting to be baptized, so that's exciting. May the Spirit move.